Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
All right, let's get to a relevant story for all of us, and that is food.
Yes.
The Michelin Guide, as you all know, puts out and has for many decades the best, the finest eating experiences and travel experiences around the world. And it is our pleasure right now to bring on Nicholas Ashar, the managing director for the Michelin Guide in Asia and the Middle East. Yeah. And we're also going to bring on Ivan Brehm, the chef owner of Nuri Restaurant. Nicholas, Ivan, welcome to the show. Great to have you with us today.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Neil. Hi, Ivan.
Great. Hi. Hello, everybody.
Thank you. Hi,
Great
Ivan. Ivan, we hope you're not taking away from the kitchen. We assume you got to get there pretty soon at some point, right?
I got a couple minutes to burn.
Okay, good. Good enough. We'll go quickly. Nicholas, let's start with you. I saw you guys a couple of months ago at a Foreign Correspondents of Singapore event talking about Michelin and the what's been happening with the restaurants over the course of the pandemic. And a few things really struck me as being quite amazing in terms of the innovation that had happened. Take us through kind of a high-level overview of what's been going on with Michelin restaurants in Singapore and around the region during the past couple of years.
Well, thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Neil, for inviting us. I would say, we had, like all the industry, we had two complicated years. But what is interesting is that we are a guide for a consumer. We are a guide where we help the people travel, discover, dine out. And with the recent announcement of the easing of the COVID measure, we are very glad for the industry, for the F&B industry and the restaurant. And in fact, ironically, the F&B and restaurant scene has been booming. To give you an idea, in 2016, when we launched the guide in Singapore, there was 138 restaurants. And last year in 2021, now we have 260 restaurants in the Michelin Guide. We have three stars, 5 2-star, and more than 40 1-star.
Wow.
So see, so 5 years of history, and in fact, despite COVID, a booming scene. And what we have seen also, from personal experience, is that booking seems to be fully booked for some restaurants. I guess Chef Ivan will be able to tell us more about that, but globally, when we see fine dining and restaurant going quite well.
Well, Ivan, let's talk about that, because Glenn...
Sorry, we should clarify. Is it Ivan or is it Ivan? What do you prefer?
Potato, potato.
Okay. We want to get it right.
Ivan in Singapore.
Okay.
Okay. Ivan. I'll just keep saying both. No. That's a very interesting point, actually, because when Glenn and I were talking about this off air, he was explaining to me, having attended your discussion, that it was a boom for Michelin restaurants, which, of course, kind of runs contrary to the perception during COVID. We had those wonderful Facebook campaigns, Singapore rescue, restaurant rescue campaigns to help save the F&B industry. But yet I'm hearing now that restaurants like yours and others did very well and are continuing to do so, which is fantastic. But, what is your take on that, Ivan? How do you explain that?
I think collectively it was a very harrowing time for everybody. But Michelin gives restaurants like mine a special type of validation, I guess, and we make good use of those. Obviously, it doesn't come with a lot of hard work, but and I would say there are many industries within the F&B industry, and so while it's very correct to point out that Michelin restaurants have managed to survive and go through this unscathed. Some have thrived. It isn't the entire picture for the entirety of the F&B scene.
Mm. Yeah,
fair point.
And Ivan, what were a couple of the big takeaways that, or the innovations that you had to realize during this time to keep at the top end and to keep things really moving forward in a positive way? How did you change Nuri?
I think all restaurants that we associate ourselves with had to really reinvent themselves very quickly. I would say I opened 4 restaurants during the pandemic.
Wow.
And every time there was a lockdown before and after, it was literally digging new concepts and trying to figure out ways to stay relevant and also add value to people's lives, because the job of a chef who does restaurant food for delivery is very different to some in some regards to the job of a chef who is hosting guests in his own dining room, right? And so we, for example, during lockdown, converted the entire team to save the cost of using platforms like Grab, which we eventually kind of brought on board. But for the majority of our time, we actually converted the entire team into drivers, logistic people, chefs, and a whole R&D team, so that we could actually go to people's homes, deliver food, instructions. And it was quite a beautiful thing to watch. It brought us closer to our guests, literally, physically, into their dining rooms at times, unpacking food and giving to them. So these were some things that we did quite well, I'd say. But it was still very much a nerve-wracking time, as I'm sure it was for everybody.
But just to jump on that for a second, Ivan, nerve-wracking time, harrowing, you mentioned. We had many chefs on our show during that period who said it was pretty much hand-to-mouth, week-to-week, and yet you still opened 4 restaurants during the pandemic. I'm just curious to know, where did the optimism, the confidence, the belief come from? What were you seeing that other people were not, perhaps?
A small correction there, Neil. I meant it figuratively, 4 restaurants I reopened, because we relaunched multiple times. But I did open one restaurant during COVID. Appetite, which is on the second floor of Nuri, is very much a COVID baby. And I think the optimism came from the fact that at a time where we're literally asked to be apart from one another, to refrain from social contact, that the things that people would crave the most when we opened up were indeed social contact. You know, we're being close to one another, being able to share a meal together, an experience together. And we're noticing, with the decrease in every social distancing norm and regulation, as we are positively witnessing towards the end of this month, we also see the positivity increase and people's willingness to spend time together sharing a meal. Not to forget, I always say this, but restaurants are pretty much the last social enclaves we still have available to us, places where people just randomly meet strangers and get to see other humans, right? So I think the optimism came from that conviction that whether we like it or not, we're social creatures and we all need to eat.
Yeah. We're talking with Ivan Brehm, the chef owner of Nuri Restaurant, and Nicholas Achar, the MD, Managing Director for Michelin Guide Asia and Middle East. Nicholas, back to you. As you're listening to Ivan talk about his experience, does that seem to resonate throughout the other Michelin-starred restaurants and or the ones in your guide?
No, definitely. And I was said, coming back also to Neil's question before, we have the past 2 years have been really a cycle with ups and downs, and we have seen the resilience and adaptability of all the industry. And in fact, it has accelerated trends that were already there, but we saw acceleration of trends. And for us, it was 3 trends: digitalization, sustainability, and as Chef Ivan said, also delivery. For instance, digitalization, for us, we used to be a book. Now we launch a mobile app on iOS and on Android. It's free to read. It's free for everybody. We launch also a website. When you have editorial content on a daily basis. Last week also, we started a new recommendation update every month. We had 4 new restaurants. So you see, really digitalization, we are accelerated both for, of course, for the restaurant, but also for the guy. Second one we see, second trend, is sustainability. Sustainability, yesterday was an Earth Day. So consumers are more and more sensitive about what they eat, and also also the impact of all the industry on the planet. And in 2020, the Michelin Guide launched the Green Star to reward restaurants who have an impact on the planet and to reward sustainable gastronomy. And last but not least, exactly as Chef Ivan said, we saw a tremendous adaptability and resilience of restaurants, and especially with delivery. We saw, the meal box, with videos of chef. We saw also butler service. And even with the Michelin Guide, we had our own share. We partnered with the Singapore Tourism Board and Grab to make partnership between Ocker Chef and Michelin restaurant, so between Bib Gourmand and Michelin restaurant, to bring during COVID to bring to the consumer, to bring, I would say, menus from Ocker's and from fine dining.
Nicholas, I'm fascinated to hear you talk about sustainability. Yeah. I think the Green Star is fantastic. Are you starting to look at plant-based food options? Is that something that Michelin now takes into account, or where are you with that?
It is, but it's more global. I would say it's more global in terms of approach. You have chefs who do from farm to table. You know, who have their own garden, grow their own food. Also, the impact of restaurants, the water, the energy, also the waste. Also, you see a lot of chefs reducing the waste. So I would say it's more global than only plant food. And also at Michelin, we are not against meat. So that's why I would say it's still part of. Sustainability is not only plant-based food; it's part of it, but more.
Yeah, Ivan, when you've lived and worked all over the world, as I've read your background from New York to London to working in the Basque region of Spain, from what I understand, the ability to source the products, the foods that you want. Of course, many parts of Europe, they have a slow food movement where you can get locally grown things and that sort of a feel of flavors and products. How do you approach your restaurants here, being in an environment where we have to, you know, airlift in everything, every day or every couple of days?
Well, we essentially have 60% of our vegetable produce come from a partner farm or farm collective from Cameron Highlands. So these are driven and not flown. Okay. And they're literally, I couldn't get closer to farm to table, only if I had a massive plot of land in Singapore. And that was a way that we chose to mitigate some of that impact and be able to be as good to the planet as we can.
Yeah.
And everywhere that we buy as sustainable as we can. I'm also of the same opinion of Michelin that meat has a part to play in our diet. But the type of meats that we source also make a massive difference, right? Mm. And so doing the correct job sourcing is at the heart of all this, choosing organic meats wherever possible, antibiotic-free and hormone-free. And we do that across the board with both our restaurants.
Yeah.
Because we also use local suppliers, like fish farms and herbs and leafy green suppliers that are booming now. And as you know, you've covered this multiple times in your stories. Singapore is making an incredible push to be able to grow a lot more of its produce locally, and these farms keep getting better and better.
Absolutely. 30% by 2030 is the challenge. Nicholas, I mean, I'm fascinated to know, as you're the managing director of the Michelin Guide for Asia and Middle East, how has Singaporean tastes changed in recent years, or adapted or evolved? You know, are you seeing any certain trends in the restaurants or the food sources that they prefer to go for?
In terms of taste, I don't know if we can see a taste change, but for sure we have seen a boom of of all the cuisine in Singapore. Singapore is a hub. We know all type of cuisine are there, but now we see more and more chefs from all over the world opening restaurants in Singapore. The Michelin Guide has been one of the factors, different factors also. But again, when you see 130 restaurants in the Michelin Guide in 5 years ago, 240 in 2021, and we see more and more chefs coming to Singapore. There have been a lot of announcements also of chefs announcing that they're going to open a restaurant in Singapore. So definitely Singapore gastronomy is booming. Yeah. And you can see that also a lot. I mean, for also to give you an idea, we see that in Singapore, but also we have the privilege to observe all the different cities in the world. And we see also that worldwide. For your information, we announced yesterday that we're going to launch a Michelin Guide in Istanbul. Also, we had a launch a Michelin Guide in Dubai in June, and also in Miami. So you see, I mean, gastronomy is booming all over the world. And in fact, it's not even in terms of taste, but more and more so people, I guess, would see fine dining as an affordable luxury. I guess after COVID, people want to enjoy and, I would say, make good of themselves, and food is part of the pleasure of life. And in fact, we see that It's booming everywhere, which is reassuring.
And we certainly know that in Singapore, right? It is such a massive part of our life and our culture here at all levels of society. Ivan, I'm going to give you the last word and just a quick look ahead to Nordi and what you're doing. What are you expecting now that, we just had this great announcement yesterday of a further opening, a quite dramatic opening of Singapore. We've got conferences coming into town soon and F1 will be coming in September. What are you thinking in terms of getting your restaurant back up to 100% or growth perspective going forward based on what we're seeing now in our landscape here?
I think for the industry at large, it's a return to normalcy. And I feel like that would happen quite quickly. For us specifically, I am booked for a closure in a couple of weeks. We're going to close the restaurant for an overdue renovation. Hmm. I'm quite excited about the prospect also of relaunching as things reopen. Towards the end of May, we will close and reopen towards the end of June with the same Nordi, but better. And so we're noticing an increase in reservations as we speak, actually. Larger parties, the industry, I am fully convinced, will get back on its feet in no time.
Fantastic. Yeah. We wish you well. We'll have to do the show from Nordi, Glenn.
Why not?
There you go. There you go. You see?
When you get the Nordi fresh look there, we'll be happy to do that with you.
We'll be there.
All right. Our sincere thanks to Nicholas Ashar, the Managing Director for the Michelin Guide in Asia and Middle East, and Ivan Brehm, the chef owner of the Michelin-starred Nordi restaurant here in Singapore. Gentlemen, thanks to you both. We appreciate your time and wish you both good luck.
Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.